Hey. Yeah, we're good. Everybody's side. Now we're going to do something very simple.
Just press until and learn.
What?
I just press until I hear the beep.
Yeah, we finished last week like this. I'll try to tell you. I'll try to do something. Well, we're going to try to do it inside, or at least pretend to do it inside. I can't actually read words. If anyone wants to read text, they can do that at their private personal time, because we don't get together to read a text. Chas v'shalom. But last week we finished off with this like historical note, which we thought might help us understand some things also historical in the, but not historical, but also historical in the Heilige Torah, right? Which is very important, but let's say the Akdoma at the end today instead of the beginning. We'll try. But what we finished off was that there's such a virtue called in Yivunish Safrasine, or translated here as temperance. The Chochem Cicero, or Kikero, whoever you want to say his name, wrote that he has four different Latin translations for this word, and he's not sure which one is correct. So, and one of them is where we get the word temperance from. Anyways, temperance, moderation, modesty, frugality, those are his four options for translating it. Four Latin words, but in English, they're these words. So, innocence, he may be, all kinds of things. Quiet, there's a lot of different words to translate it with. But there's a za virtue, it's a za mala toive. In Hebrew, as we discussed, Rav Ibn Tibben translated as zehiras. This was how we discussed that. And I remember, in the Yiddish Yiru, for sure, discussed it. And Rambam seems to have also translated as yiras chet. In Arabic, ifa, or alifa, laifa. Right? And in sometimes as precious, seems like our sages of the ancient period like to call something like this precious, although precious has also a technical meaning for them, malachic meaning, not a virtual meaning, so it's more complicated. What other word do I have for this? Kedusha, right? Very important word, biblical word, Kedusha. The Chazal, the Medrash explicitly translated Kedusha as precious. And just like precious has a technical halachic meaning, like the Rambam says, Nedorim siag leprishas, means if you make an edda, you won't touch things that are tameh. And the Rambam understands tameh v'tahara, the halachic one, as not the same as the ethical one, right? There's kedushas mitzvahs and tumas avairas, which just means doing bad things, and even many tumas are just what people nowadays call, how do they call it?
Indulgences?
No, other people call it Rambam's understanding of Tumah. I forgot the word. Purely if you're formal, right? It's Tumah because the law says that it's Tumah, right? Nominalistic, nominal. That's how people say it. The Rambam himself says things that almost say the word nominal. But there is real Tumah. Rambam explains this in the chapter about this. In any case, but this, what I'm telling you, this is just my list of words so we know what we're talking about, and then we'll be able to say, well, try to find out what we're talking about. There's something called Kedusha in the Torah, and it seems to have many meanings, just like this word that we're talking about has many meanings. And like it says Kedusha Tio, and we discussed last week in passing, the Rambam is under interpretation of this, and the Ramban is under interpretation of this, which argues with the Rambam's interpretation of it, is basing itself on a medrash or sefri and other many medrashim that translate the word kedusha as the word precious, and the Torah doesn't say the word precious, I don't think. Lahafrish, the verb exists, but not in this register, not in this context. And precious could mean again the same, has the two meanings. It could mean just lifresh min avera, or lifresh min to separate yourself from something that the law doesn't allow you, and it also sometimes has also this broader ethical meaning. And this ethical, when I say ethical, I mean the human meaning, right? The sense of an attribute of human being the kind of person called a Parush. Of course, it also has a political meaning. It was this group of people called Purushim, and there's many kinds of them. There's kind of Purushim that the Chacham don't like, and Sechta said there's a list of bad Purushim who the Chacham don't like, and so on. But in any case, they've seemed to have interpreted this as the word Kedusha in the Torah, which is why we know that this is a very basic
virtue
for Jews. Unlike someone who would tell you that it's not, it is. You just have to know the translation, right? Okay, so I give you some words throwing around so you could associate it with things. But now, as we discussed, like many virtues, maybe like all virtues that end up having a name like this, but at least many of them, they start have both broader and more restricted meanings, right? Broader meanings meaning something like, since all virtues are really about what kind of a person you are, and since all virtues are unified, as Socrates like to argue and Aristotle agrees with in some sense, and Reb Nachum Breslov agrees with, everyone agrees with, that all virtues are unified, right? You can't really have one without the other. We've discussed some reasons for this in different times, you probably know.
But you why can not? One more than the other.
Yeah, you could have, the Chazanish also agrees with this, right? You could have, there could be differences, but you can't have one perfectly without having all of them. And that is because, well, one because would be because you need wisdom, you need phronesis, practical wisdom for all of them. And once you have practical wisdom, that means you know knowing what to do. So you know how to do all the time. That's the kind of arguments that Socrates used to like to make. Another reason, what I'm talking about now, is that virtues are all kinds of people, right? And therefore the kind of person, or we could say something like, if you can close my door, that would be nice. Something like the kind, being the becoming or being the kind of person that it takes to be a just person or a chaste person or a giving person and so on, sort of means that you have to become that kind of person, and it's enough to make you into a fully good person. Because it's a kind of person, it's not a kind of thing that a person does. And people are really unified things. One of the interesting things about humans is that they're unified in many ways. Some people are less unified, some people are more, but okay. That's, again, let's go back to where I am. So therefore, all virtues have this, like, become, sometimes start off with, again, we're not interested in the history, but they have sometimes very broad meanings, sometimes very restricted meanings. Okay? Like, a Litvak will say, Kedusha means 3.5 mitzvahs. That's a restricted meaning. Okay, he doesn't even have the concept of virtue. But Aristotle, we remember, and this is what we're going to read today, Aristotle restricted greatly the meaning of sophrosyne, of temperance, to mean something very specific. In Plato, Socrates, we have more broad meanings. Plato explicitly gave it a more broad meaning in the Republic. Socrates, in other places, like in the Charmides, which is all about the virtue of sophrosyne, goes through 6 or 5 or 6 or 7 different definitions of it, but from... he probably is trying to get at somewhere, although it doesn't end in a conclusion, like the Socratic dialogues, they end in a question. But he seems to be trying to get to wisdom somehow or to knowledge somehow. But in any case, you see, if you read that dialogue, you'll see that it has a very broad reach. It's a very broad virtue. And that's one reason. There's other reasons, as we'll get to how we could make it into a very broad thing. Okay, but today we're focusing on the other side of this. And you have to know this, both in order to understand things that people like the Rambam and everything else to understand, and just to understand the reality. So
you can almost understand other virtues from a perspective of...
Yeah, you could do everything. You could do everything. Now we're going to do the opposite thing. Okay? Because this is, I have to learn something today. Besides for telling you stories and speed of tzaddik, you have to actually learn something, right? Very good. So we have to see how the Heilige Aristotle took this word and very much restricted it. And you'll remember that Aristotle's way of doing philosophy is restricting things, right? He was the first originator of the two dinims theory, right? Known before they invented the word din, because Litvaks can't conceptualize any differentiation in the world if it's not din, because they're from the disadin. Otherwise, how do you call it?
Station.
How do they call it in Chassidus, the two dinim? Two b'chines. You know what Chassidus is for them. Bechena is a philosophical term. Bechena means literally not an aspect, but you sometimes translate something like an aspect, or something like a bechena means literally like a judgment, like a bechena, like a test.
The Litvaks,
when
the
looking at this aspect.
A measure.
No, but that's not a...
The Litvaks,
measure. Not a measure, a just... okay, it doesn't matter, the etymology is not important here. Aristotle called this, very famously, qua, right? Aristotle didn't say qua, he said it in Greek, but that's how it gets translated from Latin into English. Qua means as, right? Or under the aspect of, right? Person as a eating person, a person as he is, not as relates to. Relation is only one of the categories.
No, but as
he is,
something.
Not as it relates to something. Relation is one way in which you could separate things. You could say, well, this is about as a relation to something, but in itself. But don't say, that's why I think people know. We're not talking about, it's not my shiur today either, but don't say in relation. Because relation is just only one way we can talk about the world. That's not the only way. There's only one, not only talking about the only one part of things, only one aspect of things, one way of talking about things, or one bechena, or one category, is, right, one statement that we say about other things, right, a predicate is a relation. But there's other predicates in the world besides for relations, okay? So don't say relation. What it is, okay? So, but that's not, this is not my point right now. Let's go restrict from there, right? That's too broad. We have to restrict a little more and understand that the way Aristotle, and this is called division, right? And it was one of Plato's main ways of learning, called division. And Plato said that all of learning is division and collection, right? Or breaking things apart and putting them back together. No, not the same thing. Putting things into categories, putting things, finding the unity between things and finding the separation between things, which is the same kind of work. One is going up and one is going down. You should know all these things already. Point is that philosophy is about clarifying our confusions. Remember? Remember? I'm bitter on its side. Philosophy is about clarifying your confusions. If you're not confused, you should not come. And if you're too confused, then you're not confused either. You're just like, everything's a bechena. Philosophy is about suffering through your confusions, right? Actually being confused. Right? But this means that, like I say always, philosophy is parasitic on original conceptions, on havaminas, on, how do we call it? Intuitions. Nowadays, philosophers like to talk about intuitions. I have a whole sheet about intuitions and why it's a weird thing. I come to a different sheet. Aristotle would say, philosophy, or specifically moral ethical philosophy, is parasitic. I'm calling it parasitic, it's not really, but it's a condition for doing philosophy is parasitic on your education, right? On your habituation, on being taught from youth in to be habituated and to respect certain habits. Of course, we're all habituated. We all live in a culture. None of us are monkey people that live in the jungle. So we all respect certain things. I mean, all cultures have, right? And what does philosopher do? Heighten the contradictions, right? Like Marx said, right? All we do is bump into the contradictions and the things we already believe and use them to generate truth, right? Remember? All philosophy is dialectical. Right? It means we already believe certain things or already think certain things. But thinking is not about me, right? Thinking is about the world seems to be in a certain way, right? You can't just run away and say, you don't think, like Descartes thought you could do. You can't do that, right? You already think anyways, all those things. And what philosophy is interested in is clarifying those things, right? Nachon? Everyone agrees? If you're confused, I'll unconfuse you.
Marx
didn't... I'm not talking, I know. Wait, don't get confused. Don't get off track. It's about there's contradictions and we're trying to undo them. Not undo them. Use them to generate a more clear view on reality, right? That's what everyone's after anyways, right? Instead of being confused and being led astray by the words that we use and by us, most people in most cultures are very good. Like being, in some sense, being cultured or being socialized is knowing when to jump from two contradictory positions and not realizing it, right? I'm not going to elaborate on that either. You should probably know what I mean already, right? Because the well-socialized people, they are good at saying the right things all the time without noticing that they keep on contradicting themselves, sometimes within the same sentence. People are good at noticing it when it's on the other side of the political divide, but it doesn't matter, and there's things that everyone agrees on that we play this game. Right, and philosophers are the kinds of people that are not socialized well, but that's a cynical view. But they're the kinds of people that think that it's great that we have all these opinions, great that we have all these small portals, right, into reality, which we're given by our education, which we're given by our beginning conceptions, our opinions, right? And now we're going to do some process to make those opinions better, right? Or to make them into knowledge, hopefully, finally. Nachon? And now, there's different ways of doing this, different methods of doing this. One of the methods most loved by Aristotle was splitting things, right? Splitting things is not for the sake of splitting them, because there's too many of them, there's too few of them, so we gotta split them. There aren't actually too few of them, just to be clear, right? We're not given enough words, right? The normal language or day-to-day language, what we can call, doesn't have enough words for most of the things we need to understand. The world is more Nowadays people like saying complex, but really it's more simple. The everyday words are the ones that are complexing it, right? Things are more distinct, which means more simple. Then, what we are taught to believe, and what everyday, what the beginning state of human beings generally is. But you don't see the simplicity of them before cleaning them, right? We're cleaning. It's about like a purification process. You gotta, right? In a similar way to how, in a similar way to how purification, like a chemist, purifies things, right? You purify an element. You're trying to get at the element in itself, right? Without all kind of things that it's mixed in with, that it's contaminated with, right? Now our thoughts are contaminated. What are they contaminated with? I'm talking about purification again. They're contaminated with other thoughts. That's what they're contaminated with. Whenever we think about something, most of our concepts are dirty. They're dirty because they are mixed in with other things that we also think that also are somehow true, but not over here. They don't belong here. They belong. I don't have to cut them up. We have to distinguish them in order to get at what we're really trying to get at. Make sense? Very nice. Now we're going to do an example of this, or a practice of this. Okay? Say that. And we're going to talk about this thing called temperance. We're going to use this word for today. And try to think what it's about.
Some knowledge is not necessarily dialectical. Some of it's empirical, no? You sometimes learn things just by observing them take place, no?
Maybe.
Or at least we can use that as a foundation for learning more things.
Maybe, yeah. Like gathering more facts. Maybe. Yeah. We're talking about understanding, though. Not about, like, having lists of facts, right?
Yeah, no, and I'm not talking about fact gathering, per se.
Yeah, for sure, experience is one of the sources of knowledge. Nobody ever disagreed with that. But experience is also confused, because you don't know what to see.
Yeah.
Right? You got to learn how to see things, right?
Experience is
the stage after... And the stage after experience is experiencing better, right? There isn't like experience that stops thought. There's only experience that starts thought. Thank you, but that just gives us more questions. Or gives us more things we need to take into account and so on. But it's not something that stops. Not a solution to the problem of needing to think. It's something that gives you more things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So... but it's true. I don't disagree. But philosophy is not that. Philosophy is a theoretical work. Philosophy is not the empirical work. I mean, you could call it philosophy, like natural philosophy or whatever, but still, the understanding won't be there. So, that makes sense? So that's what we're going to be doing. I want to do something important, and I also want to try to show while I'm doing it how this solves a real problem that we have. Right? It's not, we're not giving you a drush, right? You probably have this problem. I'll tell you the first problem that you have, okay? Let's give you the first problem. You could see it says in this first page that I gave you, but I'm not going to read stuff for you. I'm just going to tell it to you by heart, as they say. Okay? You have a problem. What is your problem? Did you hear of this virtue? If you know, it's interesting. Nowadays, our culture is very messed up, so most people think that... What do most people think? So I'm very, like I said last year, Shavuos, very, very thankful for having received the Torah, by which we mean growing up in Lakewood. Because then we have an habituation to certain virtues that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Like, for example, the virtue of temperance. If you live in New York City, New Jersey State in 2026, and you go to a non-from school, you probably never heard of this virtue, by which I mean you never experienced it, right? Like, you don't have a beginning. Aristotle said we don't do enough starting points from which to start the inquiry into it, because you never saw it. You were not taught that it's a good thing. Isn't that what your mashgiach told you, that in public school they just teach you to eat and fresh all day and night? By the way, it's true. It's not only the mashgiach told you. I've met those people. That's what they're taught. For the most part. Which means, like, what do you mean looking at me like this? I even know, and the problem is that growing up in Lakewood doesn't help enough. Why? Because you get taught that it's a religious virtue, but which means a fake virtue, as everyone that comes to my class knows. Right? So we don't really believe that it's a good thing. If we would have been going, we would have been just chasing after pizza. Of course, it's hard to just eat pizza all day. You know, very few people are committed hedonists. You got to work a little bit and so on. But if we would have been, all right, everyone thinks Everyone in Lakewood thinks this. If we wouldn't have had a Gehenna to scare us from it, you would have all been extreme hedonists, right? Is that what your Mashgiach taught you? Your Mashgiach? Is that what he taught? That's what the Belzeruv believes, right? If not for God, for divine command, what the good would be eating pizza. Enjoying pizza. Nice. Right? Pizza is a code. Remember Pizzagate? Anyways. So, and since... My head is too crazy. Okay. But since God gave us a title, so we don't have it. Okay, so that's the problem with growing up in this kind of environment, that you're not entirely taught that these things are good. You're only entirely that you're actually taught the opposite sometimes. Okay, but still, I think it's still, since virtue is a situation, it doesn't make so much of a difference. It's theoretical. You still see like some beauty in it, or some correctness in it, or some goodness in it. Some human goodness in it, I think. Depending on... That's even weirder that, you know, I know a bunch of teachers, not me. I'm in a big fight with those people. You don't even know who they are, probably. But it doesn't matter. I know a bunch of, like, modern Jewish teachers whose, like, big thing is to say, no, the Torah is pro-hedonism. Jews don't have to be ascetic. Like, one of the primary modern beliefs is that asceticism is Goyish. Oh, the Christians invented asceticism, right? Being against bodily pleasures. The Torah is for bodily pleasures. Everyone knows a lot of mashgiachs now. The old mashgiachs don't say this, but like the cool mashgiachs say this, right? Nachon? What does this mean? That these people grew up in this exact world, which taught them, so they believe exactly what they were taught, right? That they were taught that according, they assimilated like the like values, right? We call it values, or the virtues of democracy. The virtue of democracy is yeah, undifferentiated hedonism. Not even, we don't, can't even tell you what pleasure is, right? Whatever rocks floats your boat. And they were taught that the Torah is against this, but then they decided, wait, the Rambam told us we got to make the Torah match with what we think, right? Instead of like being critical and thinking, okay, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't accept everything your culture tells you uncritically. Oh no, but Rambam accepted everything his culture told him uncritically. That's what we learned from the Rambam, right? That you could be a modern religious Jew, right? Although he believed other things than we believe, so we're doing the same thing that he did in our context, right? You heard this drasha already, right? So the Rambam is the one that taught us that you should take some like random commands from the Torah, but all your beliefs about reality should be taken from the New York Times editorial page. That's what we learned from the Rambam. And being a smart, sophisticated modern Jew means making the shidduch between the New York Times editorial page and the Vachde Gesedra. Nachon? Well, that's nonsense. That's just dumb. Like, wow, even Betar Goya, I'm offended, not Betar Yid, right? Why do you accept everything the culture tells you uncritically? So, at least if there's like one virtue in having like a counterculture, it's to not do that, right? Like, the whole reason to be not assimilated is that you should sometimes be able to say, well, yeah, the culture believes this, but I'm not sure I believe it. Maybe it's correct, I'm not sure. Like, we should think about it, right? Only like the one good thing, and these people, these like sophisticated, cool mashgiachs, they give up on the one reason to be Jewish. So this is my hack. Where do I get into hacking on some random unnamed people? Who I'm not even giving you their names. It's no fun. My point is, back to where I am standing. But we are taught, if you go to like a Chassidish yeshiva at least, or some, if to old-fashioned Litvak yeshiva, like I went to, you're taught that gashmis, and the Litvaks they call it gashmis. Like gashmis is not a thing. By which they mean gashmi is pleasure, right? Not gashmi is money. Money is... No. Anyways, it's not a thing. So there's some virtue against this, right? That's the important thing. Now, I have to tell you something very interesting. So I've spoken to many people that are smart about this. And one of the things that people are very confused. Now, people are very confused. Why are they confused? Because they see this. Okay, they see... But it seems like, okay, so now the question is, how do we say what we see, right? How do we understand ourselves, right? Philosophy is about understanding ourselves. How do we understand ourselves? We say, we believe that it's not good to pursue pleasure too much. This is how people say it, okay? Comes some genius and says, what do you mean? Didn't the Mashgiach yesterday say Adrash? This is Aristotle, according to 2026 Lakewood. Yes, today the Mashgiach said Adrash against pleasure. You shouldn't be just living a life to enjoy food and sex. Chazal Shalom doesn't say that word because he doesn't believe in it exists, but it happens to be it does. and other things, and so on. And then the next day, he gave a whole drasha about that, the gishmak of learning a sugya, mesechtes pesachim. It's as good as the Rishis cold seltzer, even better. And some, and then the chassidish mashgiach even gave a different drasha about also like litvak that he read like Mesillas Yesharim, and he read that it said lesaneg al Hashem, that a person should have pleasure on something about God, I don't know what. And you come to the mashgiach and you say, Rabbani, what's going on? Should we seek pleasure? Should we not seek pleasure? Huh? You're contradicting yourself. Ma omer? Ma tshuva? Ma shtira? Or like there's a guy that came to the Heilige Rebbe. True story, this confusion. You're confused, right? There was a guy that came to it. I hope you're confused. Or you're not confused. Stupid question. Why is it stupid?
No, it's really a great question. But when you talk to them, they tell you, you saw that Nezer in the Akdamah.
Yeah, that Nezer. Very good. It's amazing. That Nezer from Tshuva is saying that you're allowed to. Okay, but did you solve the problem or you just told me the problem again?
Exactly.
Right? It's gewaldig. Oh, it's Mutter. It's a kosher Tainan. It's a mitzvah. It's a chedek for the mitzvah. Because mitzvah is gewaldig. Doesn't mitzvah live long as it's new. Whatever. Yeah. Very cute. Very new. But Mele, you got there. You're contradicting yourself. Do you know the Maya said that there was a Mesnager that came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe from Lublin, and he told him that he thinks that being a Rebbe is a taiva like all the taivas. So the Rebbe thought to himself, and he said, I think you're right. The only difference in this taiva and all the other taivas is that to get this taiva, you have to give up on all the other taivas. And then the Hunter Rebbe said, nah, you don't have to. So, anyways,
or we can gash in the fathers giving up on the Bible.
Point is, there's a baya here, right? A very simple baya. Okay? Very weird thing. Now, what do I think? There's all some people, I know some people that said, okay, so therefore, we don't believe in this. This whole chilek that we were taught, this is one silly way of resolving the tension. You shouldn't seek pleasure. It's nonsense. People just decide that they like certain pleasures. Everyone has their pleasure. You like toys. No, I like pizza. Timechapes. I'm not better than you. You're not worse than me. Oh, sorry. I'm not worse than you. And sometimes the people that eat pizza, that learn Gemara, they give up on this problem. And they say, yeah, you're right. But, like, what's this guy's name? The English guy said, it's true. But there are higher pleasures and lower pleasures. Which philosopher said there are higher pleasures and lower pleasures? God, he stole. No. Not Aristotle.
Rambam says.
John Stuart Mill. John Stuart Mill, who couldn't imagine of anything good besides her pleasures, but he was educated as a good, what was he, Scottish, British connection. And he was taught that a gentleman doesn't just what the guy said, but he enjoys like finer things in life. So he came up with this thing. Okay, look, there's like pleasures, but there's more complicated pleasures and less complicated pleasures.
It's like there's some people that are more equal than others.
It's like the same thing. But so this was his way of saving the traditional thing that there are some pleasures that are bad without having words for anything besides your pleasure and saying this. Okay, so that's what some people seem to accept. Of course, he tried to justify it and explain it. I'm just giving you why you've gotten to this problem. So it's a problem.
I mean, is pleasure an accident of the thing that you're...
I'm not going to give a shir of pleasure. Aristotle had many more things to say about pleasure than today's shir. But now I'm going to see a simple thing. Today we're going to learn a very simple thing. That doesn't solve this whole problem of pleasure. The problem of pleasure is still bigger. And we have to talk about this a lot more.
I think it's an accident of what you're doing.
Yeah. Aristotle said things like that. Because supervenes... Well, yeah, it doesn't... Question. So wait.
It can be something called a higher pleasure
so wait.
In that regard.
Wait,
it's not
wait.
Ordered by pleasure.
Okay, so then pleasure is not a good, and yeah. So wait, Lebel, I'm talking about something simpler. I have a simpler teretz even then. Nah, still. Okay? I have a simpler teretz, okay? You know what my simpler teretz is going to be? Aristotle, this is the kind of teretz that we said before. We have to make a more dinim. We have one word, and you'll realize what we're doing. What I want to tell you with this mashgiach is that, very cute, we use the same word, pleasure, in both of these shmuzim. You should have pleasure in Shabbos. Okay, Oynik Shabbos. We have to worry if Oynik Shabbos is the Gashmi Ezdik or the Rochni Ezdik, whatever that means. And the Oynik of Svara. And we also have the Oynik of Pizza. And certainly, since they're the same word, it's a stira, and the Oibe Chachamim, the Bekarsim, they say taka, it's the same thing. And other people say, I don't know, or in the third kind of people say, yeah, but it's lamay lemitam v'das, taka, I can't explain it. Another way, very cute way of escaping problems and not thinking. Okay, we just believe it. It still feels different. So therefore, we're put there from thinking and explaining and having a clear access to the world through our thoughts, which is what we are. Actually, people that things, beings that think, all kinds of different ways of... You realize that this is a very basic problem, and it's like one of those basic problems that modern people, especially because of their poverty of words and concepts and metaphysics, are really stuck about. Today's sheet is not against modern metaphysics. I'm just saying that. It's too broad. I'm not sure. Not everything is get solved by doing that, but it's true. All right?
So even Hebrew words take on many different meanings. The same one word takes on many meanings, obviously, you have to say that.
We could just add more words. We don't have to make up new words. One word would be making up new words, which is not a very useful thing.
No, let's say the word oinig, right? You'd have to say that really there's boinig and oinig and shmoinig.
We could do that, but that's not very useful. That's just a play. You have to explain what you mean. So you have to, anyways, add more words. So listen to what we're going to do. Zug the Heilige Rebbe. And the Rambam kind of echoes this definition in many places. What this chapter is basically Aristotle deriving the final definition, this definition. And Zugda HaHeilige Rebbe, let's start, let's say like this. Let's do this big fat division. We're going to do a long process of dialectic here. I'm going to try to figure out what we even mean when we phrase this thing called temperance, which means, let's agree, let's admit that it means the correct or the mean condition, right? The mean condition regarding pleasures, right? I'm asking with this. Every virtue is a mean. By the way, saying that it's a mean already solved a lot, right? Uh-huh. Saying that it's a mean already solved half of my problem? Or all of it, maybe? That would be one solution. Remember? Solution, one solution. So besides for all the solutions to all problems in the world, being stop being modern people, another solution is to say that everything is a mean in virtue, right? One of the solutions. The Rambam seems to have been very happy with the solution. Could you explain me how it's a solution?
Well, it depends what you're calibrating it against.
No, mean not calibration.
First,
mean means correct.
Yeah, correct.
Middle way. The middle way means the correct way, right?
In
the right
place,
way.
You have to assume that it's not an end.
No, for sure. I don't mean that. That's why I'm saying that. What we're discussing right now. Let's be very clear. There's one question that we're not talking about today, which is pleasure the end, the goal of life? We're not really talking about that. Or another thing that we're confused.
We don't think that it's the goal.
Right.
The reason happiness is the goal, but not pleasure. If you assume that it's an end, then you don't assume that there exists.
Right. Very good. True. So let's be very clear. When we talk about and this, we could solve. This is one. So let's go. Let's talk about that also. One thing. Number one, there is one question which is, what is the end? Ma tachlit? What is the goal? What is the tilos of a human life? One shaila. What should I dedicate my life to? Actually, how do I like saying it? What is my life organized around? What judges it? What's the criteria? And over there, there's hedonism. There's, in some sense, all the vices and the virtues can be candidates for that. And to decide which one really is the end is the subject of Book 1 and the subject of in the Rambam and the Akdamot Perasha Mishnah and so on. That's one subject. We are not talking about that, okay? We're not talking about that. Okay. Sometimes we confuse these things. We talk about the virtue of temperance and we can pretend we connect it. It's connected. Of course it's connected because what the end of everything is going to tell us how much of anything to do.
And what the mean is.
Based on how to get to it. Mm-hmm. Right? But when I said mean, I meant middle, right?
Yeah.
In any case, I also mean in you're talking about mean as opposed to an end, right? But also that's
this time I was saying mean.
Right. We should use a different word because it's confusing us. But the point, important thing is, we're not talking about that. Okay, we're not talking about that. Let's assume we already know what life is for. Okay, it's for happiness. The question is just what happiness is. It doesn't help much. Anyway, but our question is. About this, let's not talk about that. We're talking about this specific virtue as a virtue, right? Just to talk about a virtue, one of the good middos, there's many good middos. Learning Torah is a getezach, and not being a fress is a nacha getezach. Two different getezach, not the same. Ultimately, they're all connected to this one big goal of everything. Okay, but we're talking about this specific. So we're not talking about that. We're not going to solve that question. And that question has to do more. Like when you ask the question, something like, Lisan Egel Hashem is the goal of everything, so that seems the pleasure is the goal of everything. That has to do with that discussion. I think that Lisan Egel Hashem is a wrong formulation. It should be to be happy with knowing God. I think that the Oneg is not precise, but that's a different. That has to do with the discussion of eudaimonia and all of that. Completeness, Oneg. In Jewish books, often they use Oneg in that sense, but they don't really mean pleasure. That's another issue. Then there's another question. Will you have pleasure? Yes, you will have pleasure, but that's not the goal. It's just something that comes along with the goal. And so. Now, what we're talking about now is the correct way of behaving in regards to this area of life called pleasures. So we're already cut it off from one big problem that confuses us. I don't know. So, okay. And now we said, remember that we said, that I want to get back to where I was saying. We said that all virtues are means. All virtues means having the correct. None of the virtues means no virtue. Like, this is like a rule, really. We're saying it backwards. We should derive it somehow, right? We gave some reasons to thinking this. But whenever we talk about, when we praise not enjoying pizza too much, right? We don't mean not enjoying it at all. All we mean is not enjoying the wrong things, or in the wrong times, or in the wrong ways, or in the wrong amounts, things like that, right? What does that solve? It doesn't exactly solve the problem that we talked about. It doesn't exactly solve... Kikisharan, you're not listening to me, what's the point? It doesn't exactly solve the problem...
I wasn't even looking in.
I know, you're just pretending.
No, I was thinking what you were saying. Like,
it doesn't...
I don't know what it means when you say that enjoy it in just the right way, the right time, the right...
As I've asked, we're thinking very practically, not too great. We need to think too great.
I'm not thinking great. I just want to understand what that means.
It means not eating too much pizza, not too little pizza.
That's not enjoying.
Yeah, it is.
It's just eating.
It is. No, it's enjoying. It's enjoying. Whenever we talk about enjoying, remember, all virtues are actions. No, we're never talking about you forget another whole sheet.
You mean appreciate.
No. That's the internal, but I can't talk about all the internal all the time. We're not right. Yes.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes. Okay. That's already solves one solution.
So then, we're not talking about that oinig that we're talking about the mashgiach's oinig.
We're talking about he is talking about that because he's actually talking about not eating too much pizza. Right? Not eating too much pizza. When we're still talking about things that give you pleasure. Things that, and we'll say in a second, what kind of pleasure? Things that give you pleasure. Okay? You're bringing in a different distinction, which is, let's leave it on the side. It's not. Assume that I already know that, okay? Because it's not going to solve my specific issue that I have right now. Okay?
It's definitely not solving my issue.
Okay, ich kenne schon alles reden auf einmal.
Nein, I'm trying to only talk about the pleasure that you're talking about. I just don't know.
I'm not being specific. I'm talking specifically about the correct behavior relative to pleasures. That's all. Not pleasure in the broadest sense of like, I hold that this is good. That's not interesting to talk about. That's not way too great big to talk about.
Right?
Not taste buds in the sense of the taste buds working correctly. But the taste, that's why we call it pleasure, because the taste buds taste correctly. Or by the way, let's we're not talking about taste buds. Let's try to start bigger than that, right? Where did we start talking about taste buds, Fragetur? Taste buds is the sense, right? We're talking about the light, but we're still talking about the taste buds, Rabban Shalom. We're talking about the behavior in certain years. Remember what defines, what cuts virtues one from the other is the thing they're about, right?
Okay.
Because all virtues are likings. That's not interesting, right? When we talk about liking, everything is liking or hating in that sense. Not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of things that we're doing. Now, this is the correct amount of eating, pshuto. The correct amount of... Not eating in the sense of when you have maybe in the yes, also in the sense of that, but eating in the sense of eating for pleasure. The correct amount of that. That's all. So we're talking exactly about that. Nothing more complicated than that. Talking exactly about that. Very simple. Talking about or other pleasures. Now let's go back to where I was, okay? Saide. Talking exactly about that, not about what you want to talk about. That's not pleasure. That's liking. I'm talking about pleasure.
The opposite cause, I know that you're talking about pleasure, that you're saying, to me, the sentence of saying how and what and where doesn't make sense.
What do you mean? You could eat more pizza or less pizza. I don't understand the problem.
The 19th bite is not the same pleasure of the second bite. You get that?
I don't understand. Someone that is intemperate, he eats 10 bites of pizza. And someone that is temperate eats only 9 bites. Mot pashut. I'm not sure I understand what your problem is. Or maybe you don't either.
He's saying if
you're just confused, getting confused by words. So I have no idea what the words are in your head, but it's very simple what I'm talking about. Very simple. But we're getting off topic. But it has too many problems.
I'm zoning into mamash this topic. This topic is that. Okay, whatever. Go about it.
No idea what you're saying. This whole noise. I'm eating pizza. No, I'm enjoying things. Okay, I'm enjoying things. This whole noise. I mean, just like I told you, we're talking about how much of it. How much is not the only thing. It's also which way and which person and relative to which things you should enjoy, which pizza, how much, which kind of food and which kind of other things and so on. That's what we're talking about. Just like we talk about every virtue, which is about how much money, same thing, how much pizza. That's all. How much money to give, how much money to make, how much pizza to eat, how much pizza not to eat. Mot bashut. Nothing more or less complicated than that. Okay. Now, but let me. I don't know what problem you have. That is what pleasure.
Action.
Pleasure is the area that I'm talking about. Should I say it a third time? Pleasure is the area that I'm talking about. I'm talking about this area of activities that give you pleasure, things that people do for pleasure. That's what I'm talking about. No, I have no idea what your issue is. Okay. Now.
Let's say this thing didn't give you pleasure, okay? Let's say none of these things would give you pleasure. One second. You still shouldn't be doing too much of it, right? Or too little of it.
That's not the question that I have. That's not this word. That's a different problem. That's how it has to do with health.
Accident to this whole entire
thing. No, because I am talking about the pleasure. You're talking about health. I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about pleasure. As Nora Pashut, there is a correct way to bring yourself in relation to pleasure. Precisely to pleasure. I don't know what you mean. There's an Indian to eat not because of pleasure, maybe nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. People that there's an Indian to do other things not because of pleasure, I'm not talking about that today. Today I'm talking about pleasure. What's the problem? No idea what your problem is. It's not accidental. It's
you
what I'm talking about. It's exactly what I'm talking about.
In it.
Talking about the noise of just automatically. I'm talking about that. Do you like too much pleasure or do you like too little pleasure? I'm talking about that. Not talking about anything else. Everything in the world is complicated. We're trying to simplify things, right? Talking about one thing at a time. Everyone knows what pleasure is. We're talking about exactly that. And what our problem was just that we contradict ourselves, that we sometimes praise certain pleasures. Okay? That is Mekasha that I have today. There's both pleasures, things that people enjoy. Okay? And some of them are good and some of them are bad. So what this means is that we should stop saying that pleasures are bad. Or that even, I guess one way of solving this would have been to say something like, that's why I started talking about the middle term, the mean. So one way of saying this would be like, well, pleasure is neither good or bad. Some pleasures are good or some pleasures are bad. And the virtue consists in knowing which pleasures are good and which pleasures are bad. Make sense?
We could have done that.
I think the problem with that would be it's too broad. It's not giving us a virtue in the end. We don't have a virtue to talk about. We have like it's a very general thing. Like, virtue exists of knowing what to live, how to live. That's choice is true, but it's just like very way too general. The whole point of speaking about a specific area.
I think the virtue might be the refinement of pleasure. It's a different kind of.
Yes, but let me give you another.
Music.
Yes, let me give you. That might be true. I don't disagree with that. That might be true. But I'm still up to a higher, broader level of question here, right? It might be true because that's the virtue. In other words, that's that. And even after we'll restrict virtue to whatever area. Now we're just restricting it to an area. After we restrict it to a very specific area, we could say, well, and then what is good? Which, how much to eat? Yeah, the refined ones and so on. That could be, but that doesn't.
See, but what to
solve
eat is a conversation about the nature of the virtue, not the it's not its amount.
No, it's about the nature of after we have a very specific one. But it's not going to solve the question of why isn't there even a question. Let's say something like this. Why shouldn't you even moderate your love of learning? There isn't moderation in love of learning. If it's a virtue, it should have been moderate, for example. But we don't think it should be moderate about that. Some people think it should. It's a machlekes. Aristotle thinks it shouldn't. It's a machlekes. Not clear. But I can give you
because
a different.
That's how it is moderated, or is
no? Because love of learning is not. Because the answer is the way to get out of this problem today is that when we talk. Wait. Let me give you another diet, but before I give you a teretz, okay? Let me give you another diet.
It could be that the mean of that is all the way to one side, but to say that it has no mean, then it's an end.
Right. It's not.
No,
that's
no.
Not, yeah, that's wrong. What you show from that is we can have a discussion, but that's not the point. The point is that when people talk about being temperate, nobody that I know, let's be clear, our mashgiach that we talked about 5 minutes, whenever, half a year ago, I don't know when it was not, he never would have imagined even applying his framework that he talks about pleasure to the pleasure of learning. It's a whole different thing. This is berachnias. That's the thing. What do you mean? You said words that contradict each other. Okay, so obviously there's something going on. We're trying to solve, and we can solve it in a very simple way. We don't have to make anything complicated.
Say pleasure,
they're both pleasure. We don't have to mean two different things. I don't think we have to do that. We just have to refine this. We have to make a word. Not make talk when we say the virtue of temperance. We have to define what it's about. And instead of saying it's pleasure, we should say it's about a certain kind of pleasure. I could give you another proof from the other side of it. Okay, I could give you. Gashmis is a crazily broad word. We should stop
body,
using it.
Body pleasures.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be better. It'd be human body, not God in the terms of Gashmis. I could give you a better proof from the other. Wait, let me try to say something very simple. I could try to do it the other way around. I could say, how about someone that takes too much pleasure in schmeezing and hacking? How do they call it in Yeshiva? Hacking. Okay? How about that guy? Is he also a Baltaiva? When Mashgiach says he's stopping such a Baltaiva, he also means the guy that loves to schmooze, right? Does he or doesn't he?
No.
He doesn't. Why not? He just takes pleasure. By the way, I think I take pleasure in schmoozing a lot more than in eating. When I don't have anyone to schmooze with, then that's when I eat. You come to sit with me and I eat, oh, you'll see I won't. It's only when you leave that I start to eat. Because it's a bigger taiva, that's what I like more. Bigger pleasure. For some people. Right? So.
It's not really used to describe the duration of.
It's not. Mashgiach, even the mashgiach that might get confused by my question about the Sanig Lashem, if I ask him this question, he never thought of this question even, right? Why isn't the shmeister about taiva? The problem is that you're too into Gashmias. How about someone that cries about his mother's death too much? Is he also a Baltaiva? That's Gashmias, isn't it? There's a big Baltaiva. Okay, his mother, Tuvkama, his wife. His wife died. And the guy's very sad. He's a huge Baltaiva, right? He's sad that his wife died. It's Gashmias. What's a wife for? Generally wouldn't. Even if the guy could be criticized for crying too much, his problem isn't Baltaiva. Maybe it's a problem that he's depressed. Maybe it's a problem that he doesn't believe in Hashem's judgment enough. Well, nobody would say it's a problem that it's about taiva, right?
No.
What?
Of course they would.
They would?
Yeah, it's fun crying.
Exactly, it's fun. Still wouldn't say that it's a problem that's about taiva. He would say that he's a problem, that he likes to cry too much. Different kind of problem. Not intemperate. He's not a freser. I don't know, whatever you call it. In Yiddish, we say about taiva for this thing. I don't know if anyone.
It's not enjoyable. Meaning, it's not the same. It's not like
people like it.
No, it's not like schmeezing.
Let's
being itchy and scratching yourself.
By the way, that's a grabatai.
That's the biggest that the Nacht says, right?
So again, there were Chassidish rabbis that said that that's a big tie.
Yeah, it's the
grester. It's the because they made a Gzair Shiva between that and something else. Not really. No. The Chassidish rabbis that said it. They thought that it's the same thing as something else. That's why. That's what they also, I think it's a confusion.
Yeah,
because of these kind of cheshbon. I'm serious. What's the chilek from the rabbin do at the rabbin dar? This is pleasurable, that's pleasurable. Okay, this is a mitzvah, this is nishkan avayla, but it's the same thing basically, right? What's the difference in hugging your friend and hugging your same kind, right? No, there is a difference. Happens to be human beings are more things are more simple than that. But people that make this kind of chesed, they end up in these kind of places.
Okay, whatever, that's just I'm trying to say that it's more dakas dig. I'm talking about
it's not more dakas dig, it's a different. So, very simple. So, we could just solve this by defining exactly what we're talking about. And we could try to define it even better. But one simple thing we could say is saying that the noise of Midas Hatave is not about all kinds of human pleasures. Let's stop saying that. That's a mistake. That's too broad. It's specifically about pleasures of the body. We'll start here. It's not close. It's still not refined enough. But we could start here. For an example, even someone that likes kovet too much, okay? Let's forget about bad, good things that we start getting confused about. What about someone who likes kovet too much? Is he about taiva? No, he's about kovet. So, kenat taiva kovet. There's three different things. Obviously, a Baal Kinah and a Baal Taiva is not about kavod, right? Although kavod is very pleasurable. Some people like kavod. Yesh l'chodem shemayna chovav olav megufa. Yesh l'chodem shekvod chovav olav memayna, whatever. Some people go to great lengths for kavod, like that guy accused the Rebbe of, right? You give up all your taivas for kavod. Makes sense. But that's not being a Baal Taiva. When we talk, right, you could talk about it as being a Baal Taiva in a very broad sense. You could hear too much about yourself, too much about your body. But our shit, or the Aristotelian shit, is that always talking, making things broader hurts us more than it helps us, at least for practical purposes. If you want to work on the Midas HaTaiva, if you want to talk about it, if you want to have a clarity about it, you should restrict it more. So let's do restriction number one. Restriction number one is, it's about bodily pleasures. It's not about pleasures of the soul. Now remember, in order for this to make sense, you don't really have to believe in a soul. Right? Maskim? Because then you would say, oh, this is all just, you need some metaphysics for this to work. And we have a problem. If you're an extreme materialist, like if you really think that all pleasure, nowadays people talk about dopamine. There's no such thing as dopamine, you know? You know that nobody ever saw it? It's just a fantasy that some neuroscience made up and everyone believed it? Bunch of minutes chachamim. Yeah, we don't know that actually that's what causes pleasure. It's an invention. Nobody actually knows that. It's like a weird halfway, a quarter proven hypothesis that doesn't even explain most of what it's supposed to explain. Yeah, shtism. And it's crazy that we talk about it this way. Why is it crazy that we talk about it this way? Because this is what causes people to think that liking kovod is the same as liking gelt. It's not the same. Kovod is something that pertains to how other people treat you. Gelt is something that pertains to your relation to gelt. Esten has to do with esten. Other things have to do with other things. Lehen has to do with lehen. These are different things. They have different objects and also different parts of the person that enjoy it. It's not the same kind of thing. Yeah, everything is just dopamine. How do you know that? Nobody knows that. If that's you're not knowing that, it doesn't help us to say that. Because it's still more different than it's similar. Right? You understand? Maybe someone who's clinically depressed or has like a physical deficiency can't enjoy learning either. That could be. That doesn't make it, that's not a problem for me. Right? It goes back, we're not going to have every sheet about questions of body and soul, but it's not a problem at all. It's still a different kind of thing. Therefore, the way normal people talk about it is someone that likes to talk too much takes a lot of pleasure in his, faculty of speech or seeming smart or things like that. It's not about his body. We can still talk about his body. Does it need a body? Do you need a body to enjoy COVID? Possibly. Do you need a body to enjoy learning? Possibly, as long as you're in a body, probably you do. At least I've never learned with anyone that's not in a body or that wasn't ever in a body. That's for the Malach Gavriel. Okay. Besides for that. Malach Gavriel obviously could learn. The truth is that you don't need a body to learn. But while you're in a body, you do need it. When you're tired, you can't learn. Although you don't learn with your body. Okay, well, that's complicated metaphysics. But without that complicated metaphysics, it's still different. But I'm just reminding us of this because one of the reasons we get stuck is because instead of thinking about what things are, we think about what makes them work, right? It's like saying all houses are the same because all of them need brick cinder blocks on the bottom or whatever they put on the bottom of houses nowadays. That's not interesting. It's true, but not interesting, right? We're trying to talk about the difference. Right? What you enjoy is the air conditioning, not the foundation. Even if you need a foundation, even if the foundation breaks, the air conditioning stops also to work. So loving to learn, or loving to think, or loving to talk, or loving to have honor, or enjoying anything like that, is not the pleasure of the body in the relevant sense. Do you need a body for it? Metaphysical, physical question for a doctor. But when we talk about pleasures of the body, we don't mean those. So finish, we solve the problem. Whenever we talk about Parishas, in this sense, Zahiris, Temperance, whatever you want to call it, look to Aristotle, we only talk about pleasures of the body, not pleasures of the soul. COVID belongs to the soul, not to the body. Or figure it out exactly to where it belongs. Not to what we're talking about.
Not to the senses.
Wait, we're going to talk about senses. Not to these, yeah, not to the senses. Senses, body, when you say body, we mean senses, yeah. You could say we mean senses at this point. Yeah, we mean senses. Very good.
How come sleep would be a tava, right, and it's not...
Sleep is not a tava.
No?
No. I don't think so. I think that's a very weird thing to say. Sleep is not a tava.
Because you're not there when you're...
You don't enjoy sleep. Yeah, firstly because of that. I don't think it makes sense to say that you enjoy sleep. No.
But it actually does.
Actually...
Because reality is that I enjoy it.
I don't know. It's bothering me because of the way... I didn't say you don't enjoy it, you see? Firstly, it's like
pleasure, at least, especially people who sleep like 12 hours a day.
By the way, I don't think it's a pleasure. I think it's I don't know. Firstly, like you're saying, it's like resting. It's the opposite of doing something. Pleasure is when you're doing something. It's that pleasure. It has to do with, like, if you go like in the Tanya's chart, it would have to do with, like, with depression. Is depression a pleasure? I mean, people could say I enjoy being depressed, but that's like just a weird artifact of language. What it, being depressed is not enjoying anything. That's like the definition of it.
No, but sleeping for a half hour, that's a bodily pleasure.
I don't think it's a pleasure. It's like a social pleasure, maybe, to sleep.
How about resting?
You're Nebuch. Yeah, all the guys, Nebuch, the garbage truck has to wake up, Nebuch, and I'm here.
No, but how about resting on the couch? Like, not actually sleeping.
Or maybe it's maybe it's a pleasure of the mind, in any case. Like, sleep is for your... Very good, so rest.
That's one of the senses.
Rest is like a... I'll tell you why sleep is not a pleasure. Okay, for different reasons, I don't think. Maybe
no,
in this context,
it's
totally...
It's associated with the same sort of bad character, in the sense that you imagine the person... Who's
no, laziness. He's too... Someone who sleeps too much. Okay, let's be very clear. Someone who sleeps too much, we call him lazy. We don't call him pleasure seeker. We don't, right? We call them lazy. This is a different thing.
But I'm not asking
it's part of
I'm
the same caricature of the person with
no
senses. That's what I'm asking you for.
No reserve.
Meaning, is there any
bodily
pleasure that are not in the five senses? That's what I'm trying to say.
Sleep, in that sense, I don't think, by the way, if you ask me, sleep is a pleasure of the mind. Just like, how do you call
drunk?
It? Being drunk is... Okay, I don't know. I don't know. Let me tell you this, the drush from Rebbe, this, because what time is it? Are you already going on for almost an hour? Maybe you're ready more. So that's what the number one. Well, let's talk about the pleasures of the senses. I would call sleep, but I'm sure that maybe sleep could fit into here. I would call sleep a pleasure of the mind, not of the body. But that's just me. Also, I don't feel like sleep is a pleasure. It's a weird thing to call a pleasure. Pleasure is when you're going to sleep, when you're waking up, but when you're sleeping, it's not. So, which other thing do you people want to talk about? Okay, so we gotta say it like this. What? Okay, now, so what Aristotle actually does next, that's step one in this chapter. The next thing that he does is he tries to restrict it to certain senses also. Okay? Is dreaming a pleasure? Like, is thinking a pleasure? Yeah, it's a pleasure, but not of the body. That's what we're talking about. There's social pleasures that have to do with other people.
I mean, when you're actually asleep, that would be a very interesting thing to call that a bodily pleasure.
Okay, so where's the pleasure?
I mean, like...
Someone's like a sloth, that's a kind of laziness. It's like a species of laziness, like extreme laziness. Like, he just sleeps and eats all day. The sleeping part is laziness, and the eating is also because of laziness, because he's not doing anything else. Okay, could be. Like, bad middas also go together with each other, right? Just like good middas go together with each other. Okay. Like,
not, sure.
Not controlled as well. Being uncontrolled leads to all kinds of things, but we're trying to specify things.
The virtue of temperance is having the correct...
No, wait. So Aristotle's temperance is not more limited. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if you make it having the correct and not
being
not letting your body control you or something like that. For physical pleasures. Not for other things. That will give them a different name. We'll talk about them separately. This is what allows us to have a sheet on each thing separately. Otherwise, my sheet would finish very quickly.
It's like saying, like, do you enjoy...
Okay, let me...
No, it seems that analysis to sleep, if you would apply it to eating, would seem... But it wouldn't seem the same, right?
It might. Wait.
Swallow the food.
Yes. Let's talk about that. No problem.
The sensation of it.
Yes,
place,
no.
Right?
And there's nothing wrong with eating. Only with the pleasure of eating.
Right.
Wait.
The sensation
exactly.
Place.
So that's why.
Yeah,
let's okay, maybe. I don't see that it's pleasurable.
Not the actual
having
slept.
I don't know what's pleasurable than falling asleep. I don't have what you're trying to say. Something sounds weird. Okay, let's not. This is not a sheet on going to sleep. We'll get a different sheet. Very important sheet. Go to sleep. Not our sheet today. Our sheet today is about the general concept. Okay, so now, Rabbi Yisar, let's talk about more things, okay? So now that we realize that this is just, you could see all of this as just a linguistic clarification, even if you want. It just helps us work normally. Instead of pretending that when we say pleasure, we mean all bodily pleasure, we mean bodily pleasure, okay? Now let's make it even more restricted. Do we mean all bodily pleasures? Like, let's say like this, like all the senses. So I have some things that are not about taiva, okay? Let's go back to my mashgiach, because in my head I have a mashgiach that makes sense. Maybe you have a different mashgiach that says different things. The mashgiach in my head, let's say someone that likes the theater very much, or likes art, he likes art museums. Art museums are a very weird way to experience art. But anyways, someone who likes beautiful scenes, he goes on trips to see beautiful views, okay? Buildings, no. Views, nature. Something like that, okay? He loves that. Is he about taiva too? It's a pleasure of a sense of sight, I guess. How about someone who likes music very much?
He doesn't enjoy the sensation of seeing. It's not because his eyes feel good.
Well, by the way. No, you don't hear people saying, like, it hurts my eyes to look at that? No, they don't mean their eyes. I don't know. Seeing beautiful things helps your eyes. No, isn't it? I mean, help your eyes. It says in the Pusik. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful sight. Yeah, I guess. Well, eyes are not things that have pleasure. So you realize that we're trying to get it. We're getting at something very weird. Eyes don't have pleasure.
It's like the mouth having pleasure for schmoozing. It's like
No, that's a tool.
That's what he's saying.
No, schmoozing is not in the mouth. It's in the give and take. It happens to be that you need a mouth. If it's in writing when you post on the internet and you schmooze that way,
okay,
it's the same schmoozing, even if it's not. Or fingers. Or if you have some other way to type.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. By the way, you can also enjoy a nice...
You can't enjoy scenery without eyes. There's no other way. In your imagination.
Yeah.
Imagination is just like a fake eyes, right? Isn't it? Internal,
maybe,
like copy of the eye.
Maybe, you know, that's... That you could say, argue that fingers...
Yeah, but that's not the same. By the way, you can't. No, I'm not masking. Imagination is one pleasure, and seeing things is seeing. Yeah, you can't just imagine them and say, I have the same thing.
Yeah, but are you enjoying...
That's not true.
Like... Is it akin to, like... Let's put it this way. I could draw a closer relation between the sensation of taste and touch than I could between touch and sight.
Right, there's a difference. There's a difference in the way those senses work. That's true. They work by touch. Mashayan can sight and hearing and smell work at the distance. Aristotle was impressed by that.
Well, smelling, I'm saying, is a portion of...
Be a kind of taste. Maybe not. Or maybe it's different.
I can even associate that more.
Okay, the point is that for some funny reason, we don't talk about... I wonder why. I'm making you notice certain things. Even Mashgiach doesn't say that watching movies, not talking about movies, whose only purpose is to make you feel certain sensations. But... Like movies that have any beauty or any information in them or anything like that, no, he doesn't call them Taiva. He calls it Bittel Teire, Bittel Zman, Goyish. There's different problems with them, but not Taiva, right? It's like, no, Taiva, the kicks movies. Usually when the Mashgiach says movies, he just means this, but let's say there were people, the Bukhrim, that were actually watching movies, right? You know, it's not that. It's about Taiva, they go on trips. You go to look at the scenery. Nobody even says you're Baltaiva for listening to concerts, do they? I love beautiful music. It's funny, like, again, taking my Mashgiach as an example, the people that the Mashgiach respect, not all of them appreciate beautiful sight, but some of them do. And it's not seen as like, if you tell the Rebbe he really liked a Kegel, okay, you know, he's allowed to, but nobody says it as a... Nobody respects him for that. If you say the Rebbe, when he would see a beautiful mountain, he would like say, Marab Masech Hashem, so beautiful. He's like, that's a good thing, right? Or if the Rebbe would hear a stickle chazanas, because chazanas was invented more than 50 years ago, so you're allowed to like it. And they would say, classical music, right? He would say, wow, he would want to listen to it another 500 times, right? We don't think that's like as a chesur, general. Some people might. But, right? We don't say he's about taiva. But we don't say, you're too into it. I guess it could be too into it in other sense, like it takes up too much of your time or things like that. But it's not about, we don't talk about the pleasure being like too much. I don't think so. Have you heard of anyone saying that?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Like who?
I can think of a clinical situation.
Clinical situations don't count.
Yes.
We're talking about...
Why not?
Because we don't believe in clinical situations. Only moral situations.
There's a kind of person who exists, who experiences aesthetic and intellectual and visual and all these pleasures to a point where it harms his life.
Yeah, that's it. Clinical just means harms your life, which means you don't work for capitalism well enough, which is not very interesting.
Sure.
No, I'm serious. What I'm saying... No, because again, you're not talking about... When the pleasure is too much, not when someone is like... He's too busy doing one thing, but you have to do other things also. Okay, that's a different problem. That's a question of time management or something like that. I don't think that it's the
problem.
Where
extreme pleasure.
Okay, the clinical situations don't count. We're not talking about Mishigom. In any way.
Meditated.
Same thing, doesn't matter. In any way, we're not talking about kinds of situations like that. This book, this sheet, or this kind of sheet at least, is about normal people. It's about only moral situations, normal situations. Everything. By the way, I didn't say, just to be very clear, when we say this, right? It says here, Befetish, in this book that I'm reading, we're not saying that you can't enjoy music too much, or that you can't enjoy whatever beautiful things too much. Nobody's saying that. We're saying that when we have that problem, it wouldn't be an issue of temperance. It would be some other issue, which maybe we'll have, find a new name for. Maybe it's not common enough to have a name. It would be a different issue. Not a question of taiva, it would be a different question. Like I said, it could be a question of bittul zman. Mashgiach could say you shouldn't listen to music too much. Takes away your head from learning. No problem, there's a competition. Either your head is about songs, either it's about learning. That's not a question of taiva, it's a different question. Different problem, has different ways of working. There's differences in these things. There's a reason why we, for whichever reason, we separate the virtues into different things. We shouldn't confuse these things either. Okay? Even sense of smell isn't really about this. What about this virtue of this pleasure of touching your phone all the day? I don't know which one that is. I think that's a sense. By the way, I have a chiddush. You heard my shiur? I think touching your phone is a sense. It has to do is what Aristotle thinks is a problem, because it has to do with the sense of touch. Do you know that the people make phones make sure that they feel pleasant to touch? Okay, so yeah, of course.
It doesn't hurt.
No, that doesn't hurt. Okay, let's not. She made my sheet. That was just a nice way of me. It's not even. How about someone that smells too much? He loves to smell the fresh challah. Is he about taiva? In some sense, he is. Secondarily, like, he smells the challah, but he wants to eat the challah. He's not really about the challah. Zog the Rebbe, this is like, let's say, an animal. An animal. For sure, only has taivas. Like one of the definitions of what's bad about taivas, that's what animals do.
Nefesh
Bahamas, right? When a lion smells a cow or a zebra, or whatever he's going to eat, right? Does he like smell? Good smell. No, he's like, good meat. Different. If he say good meat, then you're a chai. If he say good smell, then you can make a better name of someone.
Right, I don't know if people call like cologne connoisseurs bali taiva.
Unless, no, it depends. If it's about like, if I like the person in a sexual way or something like that, then you might be about taiva.
No, I mean,
but if it's like, all the connoisseurs are trying to take the taiva out of, that's what the whole chachma of being a connoisseur of anything is. Take the taiva out of it.
No, like, I would say that. Make I'd it say people sublimation. Who like smelling oud and smelling saffron and whatever.
No, it's not taiva. It's not what we're talking about. Let's just say like this.
Weigh the taiva.
Right.
Same. So I don't know if you'd call that person about taiva the same way you'd call somebody who
right.
likes
that's
the smell.
That's what he's saying.
Right. Yeah. We're not talking about, at least when we talk about taiva,
as an example.
At least when we talk about taiva, we're not talking about that. Unless accidentally, unless we're like, I smell a person that I like to sleep with, or I smell an animal that I like to eat, like that, like what an animal would do. Things like that. Stimmt? So what are we left with? We're left with like what you people said. We're left with only two senses, touch and taste. Okay, now even taste is not really a problem, so we're left only with touch. Why not taste?
Because people who like food don't chew it and spit it.
Because animals don't taste their food. Did you know that animals don't taste their food? They might taste them in the sense of like, if it's sweet, they eat it or something. But they don't have taste as a kind of judgment, which is a human thing. Right? When you a taster, there's a difference between a fresser and a taster. You chap? A taster, he likes the judgment of the food, like this is like a tishtikl, this is a tishtikl, that's his pleasure. So that's not a pleasure of the sense, it's a pleasure of the judgment. Now, is it good or bad? Another question. But the problem of, do you know that if you taste the people that taste, not allowed to eat too much, if you eat too much, you lose your sensitivity, you can't taste
right,
the thing.
Right, it's like people who taste right? wine and spit it out.
Right, you have to spit it out, because it's the gishmak.
That's
different gishmak.
All the way in the beginning, depends on the second bite and
different
the 19th
thing.
Bite.
Right. No, yeah, but that's the taste.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. The taste is exactly the thing that animals don't do. Distinguishing flavor, it says like here. Like when you taste wines, and people, actually the Bala Taiva alone don't like that. That's not what we call about Taiva. Some Ashgiach might call it about Taiva, the Rambam might call it about Taiva for other reasons. But Aristotle didn't call this about Taiva. What is about Taiva? He gives an example about Taiva. It's what the Rambam's little one said. Rambam's little said that he thinks that Taiva's Achila is very dumb. Why? Because he made it himself. Then I see that Aristotle made it up this pshat. He said, why is it very dumb? Because where do you have the taiva sachila? How big is it? It's like 3 inches, like from your tongue until here. Right? Once it's here, interesting. Right? It's very small. It doesn't make sense, the kasha. No, his kasha. No, but what he's getting at, you see, you remember that philosophy is about figuring out what people mean when they say funny things, which is all of us. Right? So Aristotle says, he says, a master. Listen. No, I'm explaining what he means. Aristotle said that he heard a maaser of a freser, a person who was exactly the kind of bad person that we're talking about, like Abba the Smidda, that he had a tefillah. said, Unu Hashem, can you please make my tongue as long as like the long, how do you call it, a crane, like a bird that has a very long tongue that sticks out all the way. Yeah, something like that. Why? Because he's like, that's my pleasure. So it's a shoot that it's too long. I could only a little. If I would have a lot, the whole pleasure is in the like touching of the food on the taste buds. That's where the pleasure is. I'm like, So his tefillah was, and Plato would say that he would become a Gilgal back in a crane because everyone gets McGilgal in what he really wants to in his life. That's what it says in the Myth of Ur. You should read it. So if you eat and right, so if your pleasure isn't that, that's what you're gonna become. So that's brings out what we mean when we say intemperate. Or in the same way, like the Gemara says on Parah, he ameve on Chenetzer, he ameve v'pamashte ame, and so on, which means to say that this yid, his hope, this goy, his whole pleasure wasn't this like everkut and this like 3 inches or whatever, 3 inches, 8 inches. Well, this is not saying it's against the grossest. My zung that his thing was this touch. That's the kind of pleasure that we're against. That's at least that this midah is talking about. That's all, the pleasure of the sense of touch. And that's the exact pleasure that only animals have. That's why it's a problem. Not only animals, that we share entirely with animals. Because even taste, we don't share with animals, because animals don't drink old wine that like special, they taste it. That only people do that. Animals, they have the sense, the pleasure of taste, you could call it, or of the touch of the taste. Not the taste of the taste, not the judgment of the taste, only the touch of the taste. So that's what is animalic. Animalistic. That's why this is why.
You can split taste here. There's an aspect of taste that belongs
just
split very it. Much to touch. Right, that's
right. Well, we're just splitting because all food is about touch. That's why. Well, sex is more directly about touch and food is more directly about taste, but really the touch of the taste, not the taste of the taste. So that's why the kind of people that have the bad midah, that are the most animal-like, that were like the most mazalzman and philosophers, is precisely the people that are slaves to the sense of touch. This is where we get the famous quote from Aristotle. This is the chapter. It doesn't literally say in this chapter, at least not in our version, that said that you should be ashamed of the sense of touch. Now you understand. Very famous quote from Aristotle, wrote in the Moed Nevoichim a few times. Chush ha-mishosh cherpelona. The sense of touch is a disgrace to humans. By which he means it's a disgrace for humans to live by the sense of touch or to be too much into the sense of touch, by which we mean pleasures of the sense of touch, because that is precisely the kind of pleasures that animals have. And humans, of course, going back to the function argument from part one, from book one, humans are the kind of things that do specifically human things. So now you understand, this is the whole shiva was in order to get you to understand that statement that you probably read quoted somewhere. And if not, then it's kind of a shuda you don't know it, but anyways, now you do. And that is what it is. Then Aristotle is like, wait, but I have some touch things that are human. Like, for example, doing exercise or having a massage. That might be a human pleasure of the sense of touch, not an animal, because animals don't give massages. Nobody said you're Tutsch Baltavi, you like massages too much. Animals do massages. The Kitzur, everything when we say animals don't do that, we don't mean that you can't go on some website and say, do animal do this? And say, yeah, we found the animal do that. That's not what it means. It's like when we say, does the body do it or does the mind do it? We don't mean to say, go make an x-ray of your brain and see if the neurons light up. That's not what I mean. Now, in the same way, why not think about yourself at night? So the Hayotz L'Nimazeh is what we saved, what we gained by all of this is to realize what exactly we mean when we talk about bad pleasures, or we talk about, bad pleasure is not the correct word, we talk about the virtue of having the correct amount or the correct relation or the correct amount or the correct time and so on of pleasures. What we mean is precisely bodily pleasures, and more precisely pleasures of the sense of touch, or in Yiddish Gret, food and sex. Those are basically the pleasures of the sense of touch. There isn't really any other ones that I've heard of. Like you said, scratching yourself. Aristotle said that scratching yourself isn't a problem, or at least not in the same kind of way. Enjoying a massage or exercising or enjoying the exercise or enjoying the sweating or things like that. Going to the Schwitz, that's the problem. Eating, that's the problem. Not this problem. There might be a problem. Nobody said there's no problem with any of those things, just to be clear. Just that's not what we're talking about. All we get to gain from this whole thing is to restrict it, so we shouldn't get confused when we talk about it. But you said something else. No, I didn't say. I meant exactly this.
Just one second. The taster that's tasting it, right?
Yeah. He has a question.
The taster that's tasting it, mitzah, yeah. The pleasure of just the pleasure, right? The I know you're calling it figuring it out, but it's that pleasure. He's mamash pleasure per se.
Nothing is wrong with pleasure.
Is pleasure not having
you
that
see,
much pleasure.
Now you could change it. We're not talking about pleasure. Our problem is not pleasure. Our problem is really more being like an animal. Not about pleasure. It's sort of the up to animals have pleasure. Oh, man. I was like, yeah, no pleasure. There isn't something wrong with pleasure. Not even wrong.
Human
isn't
pleasure
even, we're not even like talking about this. We say the word pleasure, but we don't mean that.
So then COVID, the
it's a different avaira. Exactly.
Exactly. And learning is
animals don't have COVID.
That.
All of those things are different bad to the medis. Very clear. We're not saying, this sheet is not saying that everything we just excluded is a good thing. Or there's no mean about it. There are midas for COVID. There are midas for schmoozing too much. There are those are important things. But don't talk about them under the same heading as precious. Why not? Because he just gets confused. He tries to apply the same rules here and there. They need different rules. Or they need different wisdom to see the situation correctly morally. That's the whole point of us splitting all the midas. Otherwise, we could just do Socrates' thing and say there's only one good midah, which is being a good person, knowing what to do, which is true. But the point of all of this is like every learning, like Aristotle says, by knowing what the good is, you're not going to make any car. Although what makes good cars good is the good, the idea of the good. Could be. But you have to know about cars. The same thing. Like we already heard Mashiach about cars and motorcycles and everything. I don't know. Everyone has to listen to the Yiddish sheet also, because the same thing with different mashulim, and I can't repeat. Point is, you have to learn about the specific thing. So, and otherwise you get confused and... like I said in the beginning of the sheet, by not having correct words, you also mess up your life. So, therefore, you got to know exactly what we're talking about, and what we're talking about is exactly this, and that's all. Hashem should help us, whatever.